Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we are talking about Ephesians. So we're in Ephesians chapter 3. Hopefully tonight we'll be able to finish chapter 3. If not, well, we'll just pick up there next week. Chapter 3, last week we left off in verse 12 that says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him." Praise God. And tonight I want to read from verse 13 down to verse 21. It says, "Therefore I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord, Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is that width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Praise God. That's a mouthful right there, isn't it? Glory to God. Anyway, last week we were told of our boldness, the boldness that we have to approach the throne of God. In verse 12, it says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence to through faith in him." You know, we also saw over there in the Hebrews, it says that we can come before the throne of grace in a time of need with boldness. We can come boldly before the throne of grace in a time of need, so we might obtain mercy. And here he's telling us, in whom we have the boldness and the confidence, boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. So we have confidence and boldness to approach God. We don't have to approach God like he's going to, you know, knock us out or, you know, be afraid of him. If we're, you know, meaning, "God, I asked you for this 25 times. If I ask you one more time, I'm really going to upset you." No, no, no. And then Paul, now, after that, we come in here and he says, "For this reason," verse 13, King James says, "For wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory." Now, Paul is really going to introduce another prayer here. Remember the prayer back over in chapter 1 that we went through? It took us like about 2 months, but we went through that prayer. And I want to tell you, it's about everything we are in Christ. Everything that we do has to be in Christ. Can you, you know, you want to walk in this access, you want to have the boldness and the access and go to God with confidence, you have to believe that God is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. You know, on Sundays we were talking about possession and ownership. But you know, you have to know that you own something. Just because you own it doesn't necessarily mean you possess it. You're in possession of it. You know, you could own a car and it could be in California right now. You're not in possession of that car, but you own that car. And you see, we own all the promises that are in the Word of God. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians aren't possessing the promises. They have ownership, they don't have possession. And faith gives us that access to really take possession with confidence of the things that belong to us in Christ. And, you know, we should never be ashamed of the things that God wants to bless us. You know, I was talking to my friend who's a pastor, and, you know, we were talking about how some people think that that offering bucket as it goes by, let me have that bucket there just for a minute. They think that this is a slot machine. I'm serious. Christians, for the most part, believe that this is a slot machine. I'm going to put my money in, and three cherries are coming up, baby. And I don't blame them. I blame a lot of the preachers, maybe including myself, for putting that out there. Because we say things like Deuteronomy chapter 8, God gives us the power to get wealth. And so we look at it as a getting, you know, I'm going to give to get. You know, there's a whole Christian lifestyle we need to live and walk in. And really, if you study out Deuteronomy chapter 8 and you look at those verses where it says, I give you the power to get wealth, it doesn't say, in the Hebrew, you study it out, it doesn't say it gives you the power to get wealth. It says it gives you the power to make wealth. There's a difference from getting something and making something. Can you say amen? So I just threw that in extra. But he's praying here because I'm not ashamed of all the blessings that God gives us. But you know what? God expects us to walk uprightly before him. And a lot of Christians just aren't. Well, take, do what you want with it. Anyway, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulation. And now Paul's introduction to the prayer is for the saints not to get their eyes off of natural circumstances and faint. In other words, fainting happens in your mind, man. Before you ever fail in the natural, you failed in your mind. He goes on here, and what happens when that happens? We get our eyes off God. We get our eyes on the circumstances. Now, Paul's admonishing these people. Listen, don't look at my tribulation here and get you and say, you know, this Christian thing isn't working. You know, the believing God, walking in faith isn't working because I'm in prison. And that's what he's admonishing them. He's saying, don't faint in your mind. Don't start thinking it doesn't work. Because it works. And he's in prison, and they would have a tendency to think, you know what, forget this whole deal. It isn't worth it. And there's a danger that when we see people believe in God, whether it's for healing or if it is for finances, I know it works. I know healing is for everybody. It's the children's bread. Not everybody gets healed, but I can't grow faint because not everyone gets healed. Doesn't mean it's not, you know, let me just put this out to you. You have children, and, you know, your will for your children is that they prosper and be good kids, right? Well, just because they might not be prospering and being as good as you want them to be doesn't mean it's not your will. Well, it's God's will that all be healed. It's God's will that we all prosper and be in health as our soul prospers. Well, just because some people aren't prospering or some people aren't walking in health doesn't mean it's not God's will. Are you listening to me? And just because Paul's in prison doesn't mean it's not God's will for his people to be blessed. So there's a tendency to look at people, see them struggling and going, is it worth it? Amen? Come on, you never been there? All right, you look at them and you go, you know what? They've been walking this Christian walk and doing all this stuff. You know, and so it's God will take cursing and turn it into blessing. And he comes into verse 14, and he says, for this reason. Well, what's the reason? Their glory. He said back there in verse 13, he says, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulation, for which is for your glory. So here we are. For this cause, their glory, I bow my knees unto the Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You know, in case you haven't figured it out yet, there's family on earth and there's family in heaven. Amen. Isn't that great? You know, we are part of the body of Christ here tonight, but we have family in heaven. Can you say amen? Amen. And it's, you know, we are called the body of Christ. We're all members of his body. But there are some members that are up in heaven tonight, but they're still family, you know, and it exists in heaven and on earth. I love that when I hear that. And so that brings me up to something about the rapture. You know, this is just, you know, I can't give you a verse on this, but, you know, I just think it's the rapture is God's way of bringing the family together. Amen. And having a party. Glory to God. So, you know, verse 16 goes on and says that he, the Father, that he would grant to you, and he is the Father of the family, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, the word strengthen is the Greek word where we get the word it's ruling power. It's the word kratos, K-R-O-T-O-S. And it means ruling power. And you remember way back when in chapter 1, we went through all the words for power. And we're not going to go back there and do it tonight. But matter of fact, turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's just take a look at it real quick, okay? Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power?" And we went through all the Greek words there for power. But it's that same word, strengthen, ruling. Now, follow me for a minute tonight. God wants you to have ruling power in your inner man. You know, Paul made a statement. He says, "I keep my flesh under." I keep my flesh under. Well, the eye there that Paul is talking about is his spirit man. The strength that's in his spirit. You're a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. So therefore, Paul is saying here that we have ruling power in our inner man. You know what that tells me? When we're tempted, we don't have to succumb to the temptation. If we're letting that ruling power in our spirit overcome and reach out and rule, we will keep our flesh under. Paul says, "I keep myself under." Amen. All right? And so really, it's an ability to channel, not that weird channeling, okay? But direct our life when the pressures come. Be able to stand on the Word of God. Be able to speak the Word of God. You understand what I'm saying? And that is so important, no matter what Satan might try to bring at us. And I'll tell you what, I mean, he'll try to bring the kitchen sink right at you. You know, so we rule with might. It says here, let's go read this again. "And he would grant to you according to his riches to be strengthened with might." Now we have that word might, which is another word for the word power. Strengthen is for the word power. Might is the word power. The word might there is talking about the dunamis power of God, the dynamite power of God. And you know that dynamite in and of itself, you hold it in your hand, don't have no power till you light the fuse. So it's inert power. So what we have is we have this ruling power in us. It's explosive power. And when you think about that for a minute, you have the Holy Ghost living on the inside of you. You have, he says, be strengthened, have ruling power in your inner man, and dynamite power. I mean, and you know what lights the fuse? Thank you, James. Your mouth. Faith in his word. And when those temptations come, when the bill collectors are knocking at your door, it's faith in his word that ignites the dynamite and causes this explosive power to take place, and you walk and you become an overcomer. Can you say amen? And so he really, God has given us the, by using our faith, God has given us something to stabilize our life. Amen? Amen. Circumstances don't have to dictate to us. We should dictate to our circumstances. Amen. Speak to the circumstance. What shall we say to these things? If God is for me, who could be against me? So we need to start speaking what the Word of God says. That's good preaching. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, you could really become the master over the affairs of your life. And true, you know, Romans tells us that we should rule like kings and priests, rule and reign in this life through Christ Jesus because of the abundance of grace that he's given us. And we should really be ruling like kings. Circumstances shouldn't be dictating what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. We need to look at the circumstance and say, "No circumstance, this is the way. That's the way it's going to be done." Amen. And you need to get that tenacity in you, and you have to take possession of the promises so you can speak to those words, to speak to those circumstances. And he says here in verse 17 that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that, you know, that Christ may be at home in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. You know, it's one thing to live in your heart. It's another thing for God to dwell in your heart. It's another thing for him to feel at home there. You ever go to somebody's house and you just didn't feel at home? Praise God. You were there. You were in there, but you weren't at home. And I really believe that that's that way with some Christians in their relationship with God and Jesus. He lives there, but he doesn't feel at home. I went to Alabama. I stayed at the pastor's house, and I felt at home. Just felt at home. I could just no reservations, no anything. Just do it. I just felt at home, man. Kicked my feet up on the couch, watched television with the pastor. Just like, you know, had the coffee pot going. Praise the Lord. And when we start to begin to rule in life through the faith that's in our heart, that he's placed in our hearts, then Christ starts to feel at home in our hearts. And it says that not only do we have to operate in faith and be strengthened with might, but we need to be rooted and grounded in, I'll say it again, and there ain't nobody in this place got a handle on it, except Jesus. Because I'll give me 2 minutes, I'll get you out of love. I'm serious. We sit down, I'll get you out of love that quick. Which tells us something. We need to be rooted and grounded in love in order for our faith to work. In order for Christ to feel at home in our heart, we need to be rooted and grounded in love. And love is the foundation. It's the first fruit of the Spirit. And from love, every other fruit emanates. And one of the fruit that emanate from love is faith, is patience. Hello? Important, you know? And here's something else. Faith works by love. Galatians chapter 5. And what nullifies, what's the quickest thing to nullify faith? Fear. Because fear, you know, what keeps fear away from your life is love. I didn't write the Bible, okay? 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, perfect love casts out all fear. All right? So faith and love go hand in hand. So we need to learn about our love walk. Now, I'm not here to teach about that tonight, but part of the reason a lot of us aren't working our faith right is because we're not walking in love towards people. I didn't say you had to buy a piano from them. There was a, where did I put that? Am I getting there? You know, talking about being stabilized in life, going back to verse 16 for a moment. You know, in James chapter 1, it says, count it joy when you fall into divers temptations. Because it says the trying of your faith brings patience or works patience. Now, I was riding on a plane the other day on Saturday. I was going over my notes and I was reading. And I started just doing a little bit of studying on that verse of scripture. Count it all joy. We all know that God isn't bringing us to temptations. God isn't bringing us to trials. But bless God, we all need some stabilization in our life. And the question is, how do we get that stabilization in our life? It says, well, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And we, you know, we'd always say that, you know, it's your faith that's being tried. All right, but there's a result of your faith being tried, and that end result is patience. Well, another word you could put there besides patience, if you study it all out and everything with a concordance and stuff, is the word character. the trying of your faith builds character. And one of the things that are lacking in the universal church is character. Because when everything else is done, the only thing that's left is character. You could be the most beautiful person in the world, had the biggest muscles in the world, be the hottest looking chick in the world. Jack, when you get old, only thing you got going for you is character, because it's all going to sag. Amen. And faith, the trying of our faith, builds character. When those temptations come in our life, they're not from God. Most of the time, they're because of our own doing. And Satan is, you know, trying to steal the word of God from us. Faith has to be affirmed. And if, as long as every time we stand and we come through a battle, faith, character is being built in your life. Man, that exciting. When I heard that, I mean, I was flying on a plane, minding my own business. It was funny because I opened up my notes to study, and I fell asleep. And I woke up, and my finger was still in the same spot. I even missed the peanuts. Big deal, you know. It's okay, I brought my own stash with me. Dove chocolate, yeah. Anyway, let's go back to where I just wanted to throw that in there. Okay, verse 19. Is that where we're at, verse 19? Oh, no, I'm sorry. Verse 18. He goes on to here that we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. You know, the word, and I'll probably end here because it's going on 8 o'clock. But anyway, the word comprehend. You know, it means to claim, to seize something, to lay hold of something. And he's telling us that we may be, in the test, we may be able to comprehend. That means we may not comprehend. If we don't do everything previously, we're not going to be able to comprehend what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And he wants us to claim. Now, let me explain something to you. Nobody in here, none of you are a one-man show, okay? God hasn't called anybody to be a maverick in the body of Christ. And there are some people that are mavericks. But what we need to accomplish things together. And no matter what revelation that you might have from the Word of God, you know, they think, whoa, glory to God, you know. Here's what I want you to do. God wants us to comprehend something with all the saints. And the first thing, he wants us to be rooted and grounded. That's the first thing, rooted and grounded. Well, how do you get rooted and grounded? By comprehending, by laying claim, by seizing, by learning his word. That's why we're called the Word Church, folks. It's his word. All right? And that's what it means when it says breadth and length and depth and height. The Greek word for the word breadth in that verse of scripture means storage space or a storage room. And you know in the Word of God, there's a lot of storage rooms just stored with stuff for you. Every precious promise of God is in there. It's storage space. It refers to all the categories that are in the Word of God. You know what people do? They like to pick and choose. Let's go hear Prophet Big Mouth over here. Or let's go to this healing meeting over here. And let's go over here. And they're not stabilized. They're not rooted and they're not grounded. And they only want what they want. They only want to go through door number one. And there's all these categories in the Word of God that are there for us to grow by. Amen. I mean, people get off on a tangent I mean, they just go off and they get hung up on one subject. Like it's the only subject that pleases God. And they discover an area in their Christian life, and immediately they it becomes the remedy to every problem. And they're always looking for that key. Well, Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. All right? The keys. It's not a key. It's the keys. And those keys open up different storage places. Hello? Different storage, different categories in the Word of God. You know, when I was in the video game business, I had keys. I had a ring of keys this big. And you know what? I could throw those keys at Art over here. It wouldn't do him any good. He wouldn't know what key opened the cash box to get the money out. I did. He'd be there for 3 months trying to figure out what one opens up the money. And we had different keys for different money boxes. But I knew what key opened what box. So he's given us keys to use for the proper... Let me explain something to you. Prayer is important. But I don't want to blow anybody's theology tonight. It is not the only key.
That's right. Amen.
It's not the only key to the Christian life. Praise, worship, studying, deliverance, confessing God's word, promises, speaking with other tongues. But they're all important. But not one of them alone will sustain you. Hello? See, prosperity is great, but the prosperity message alone won't sustain you. See, you need it all. You need it all. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So there are keys which the Lord has given us to use at proper times. And the way we're going to find out what key opens what door is to get into the Word of God and start getting rooted and grounded in love. All right? Have you learned anything so far? You don't mind? I want to finish this up. You don't mind, do you? Now we have the word length. Well, length has to do with time orientation. The breadth, the length. And when I say time orientation, I'm talking about God's calendar. We studied dispensations. We looked at all dispensations. We need to know about the dispensation that we live in now, the church age. That's where we're, you know, the Old Testament came and went. There are principles in the Old Testament that we could glean from and learn from and operate with in this life. But the meat for our dispensation is the epistles. That's where Paul brought out the revelation of how we're supposed to live, how we're supposed to treat our husbands, how we're supposed to treat our wives, how we're supposed to treat our children, how we're supposed to work on our job, how we're supposed to treat our employees, how we're supposed to treat those that are in authority over us, how we're supposed to be givers. You know, how we're supposed to lay hands on the people. That is meat for our dispensation, and that's found in the epistles. Amen. So when he talks about the length, he's talking about a time orientation here for our life. Listen, I love studying the Old Testament, you know what I'm saying? And there are things in the Old Testament that, you know, like Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, about, you know, robbing from God. I mean, that flows through the Old Testament right into the New Testament. Healing flows from the Old Testament right into the New Testament. We talked about the mystery. There are things that were not shown in the Old Testament that are shown in the New Testament. Okay? So we need to know what's meat for where we are right now. What's going to sustain me as I walk through life here right now? That's the important part. And then he goes on here. As a matter of fact, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12 says that we be established in this present truth. Well, what is this present truth? I know we kind of use that when we're going to teach something over again. But really, what does it mean? The present truth is this time frame that we live in right now. This is present truth. Now faith is. It's now. This is the present truth. Are you following me? All right. Praise the God. Hallelujah. All right. And then the word height refers to our attitude toward God. And our in depth is talking about our attitude towards our fellow man, towards those that are the believers in the body of Christ. You know, one is vertical and one is horizontal. Jesus, over in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, he asked the rich young ruler, he says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God height with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor depth as yourself." Are you following me? So, you know, after we start becoming rooted and grounded in the Word of God, and we start rooted and grounded in love, and we start operating in faith, God expects us to grow up. You know, the book of Ephesians is about the maturing of the saints. It's time Christians grow up. It's time we start doing the work of the ministry that God has given us, telling people about Jesus. You know, it isn't this little thing that you've got for yourself. You need to share it. You know, we always use the feeding of the 5,000 for an offering, and you know, because as they gave, the supply never ran out. We're supposed to be giving this eternal life that we have to other people and share it with them. It's not just for us. Ooh, we're just this little light elite group that's going to heaven.
Right, amen.
We need to take as many people with us. I think some people think they're going to take all their stuff with them. Well, like I've said before, I'll say it again. I never saw a U-Haul follow a hearse. Only thing we're taking to heaven are the people we share Jesus with. That's why I tell people, bring people to church. Don't invite them because, man, they're not coming. Unless you get proactive, get on the phone, go pick them up, I'm telling you, they are not coming to church. Unless they, you know, something drastic happens in their life and they're going to turn to God. You need to bring them. Now, that puts you in a little bit uncomfortable situation because that means you got to get out of your little old comfort zone. Might have to get up a little early in the morning. Maybe go to their house and pick them up. Make sure they come. Oh, Lord, oh, you know. Hey. You want your faith to work? You want your prosperity to come? You think I enjoyed going to Canada and preaching for 3 days and had to pay for my own hotel room $600? Thank God I got it. If I didn't have that, I would have had to pay for my plane fare. But you know what? The Lord said, God, why are you sending me to Canada, man? It's cold. Now, you can't send me, like, to Florida or, like, you know, Arizona. It was cold in Alabama, too. And I wasn't going to go this year. I told my wife, next year I'm not going. And the Lord says, you are so. It wasn't, praise God. I mean, ain't nothing like flying in a private jet. I'll tell you that right now because you don't have to. It beats the security lines. Hands down, unless you go into an airport like in Birmingham, Alabama, there ain't nobody there. I came, they go, "Ho, customer, come on through." Seriously. I mean, I had got to the airport half hour before the plane took off. I said, you got to be, nah. He said, "You're in Alabama, you don't have to be there no 2 hours before the plane takes off. There ain't nobody there," he goes. I said, "You kidding me?" He says, "Nah, man, we'll go have lunch and I'll get you to the airport. As long as you got a half hour, 40 minutes, you'll be fine." He was right. I mean, just cruised right on through. He says, "You know how long the line was at Newark Airport Saturday morning in Continental? Forget about it." That's for sure. I mean, that line was out the door. Praise God. So anyhow, after you become rooted and grounded in love, operating in faith, God wants us to mature. He wants us to mature in all areas of our Christian life, not just in the area of healing, not just in the area of prosperity. All right? He wants us to be part of the word for our time period, the church. He wants us to be involved with the word. You know, he wants to have a love relationship with you. You know, if you get a love relationship with God, you'll have a love relationship with other people. Hello. Amen. You know, he wants you to develop in your love. Well, I just mentioned that with other believers. And, wow, I didn't think there was so much more here to go. Praise the Lord. All right, here we go. And verse 19, it says, "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." God, you know, God sets goals. You there? God wants us to be full. And he says here that you may know the love of God which passes knowledge, that you might be filled. Again, we have that word might, which is that word for power. And here's how we get filled. You know, passeth knowledge is talking about natural knowledge. He says here, "And to know the love of God which passes natural knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God." You know, as we walk with the Lord, as we walk closer with God, we start getting filled with all the fullness of God. People look at us. You know, as we look at this verse, we have a lifetime job ahead of us. Can you say amen? You think you're just going to get there tonight? You just think you're going to get there overnight? Some people think they're going to get there and overnight and just go for it. We grow every day, man. If you're not growing, you got a problem. If you're staying in the same place and you haven't gotten there, you got a problem. God expects you to grow. If you keep making the same mistake over and over and over again, you got a problem. And the best thing you could do is say, "I got a problem," and correct that problem. God expects us to grow and grow and grow. You know, my goal is to be like God. Now you say, "Boy, that's pretty braggadocious of you." No, he told me to be imitators of God as dear children. That's my goal, to be an imitator of God. Let me tell you something. As many people as you try to bring to church, they won't come. Some people will never darken a door of a church, ever. But I'm here to tell you right now, I want people to look at me and see something different. I want them to look at me like they looked at the apostles and know that they were with Jesus. You know, my question, do people look at you and know you've been with Jesus? Or are they just trying to figure out, what in the world are you? Think about it. That don't mean you walk 3 feet off the ground. You're like your head's in a cloud. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about when you're standing in the grocery line and everybody else is crabby, nasty, and mean. Are you one of those people that go to the restaurant and get upset real quick with the waitress? Oh. Or do you go up to the counter at Starbucks and it's just taking a little bit too long and you get an attitude? And you start pacing back and forth. Because bless God, you're going to get your way. You're a child of God. You're the righteousness of God. They dare they keep you waiting. That's the attitude some people have. You work in retail. You know? And some people, man, they just get like, they get nasty. Then when they finally get what they want, they'll go, "Praise the Lord." Yeah, come on, has that ever happened to you, Rose? Somebody get like a little upset because they can't find what they want, and then they finally go, "Oh, praise God." No, I've seen it. You kind of look at them, and you go, "Where is their head at?" But no, he wants us, people may, you know, they might never turn on a TV. He wants us, he gave us the Holy Ghost to go out and be a witness. Not do witnessing, be a witness. He didn't say in Acts chapter 8, go out and do witnessing. He said, go, you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost and be a witness. That means when you go someplace, people are going to look at you. They're going to know you've been with God. They're going to know something's different about you. Something is emanating from you. Amen. And then, and finally, here we'll finish these two verses. And now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You know, I look at that verse of scripture, man, I want to tell you, first of all, we got the word power, we got the word dunamis. And it refers to our faith. And it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And that word work is, it refers to our faith. It's our faith. But here's what I like about that. That verse goes and it says, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly. You know, it would have been nice if he would just say he's able to do exceedingly above all or abundantly above all. But not only that, he says exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think. Wow. I mean, think about that for a minute. Think about that. God not only wants to take care of you, he wants to go above. He's not only thinking about what you're asking for, he knows what you're thinking about. And it all comes through faith. All right? Again, it refers to our faith. He's able to do exceedingly above all we ask or think according to the power. That's that inner power that we have, that dunamis power, all right, that worketh in us, referring to our faith, and it's our mouth that lights the fuse. And once we light that fuse and our faith goes in operation, God will do he's just out there waiting. Amen. He's just waiting to bless you. Right. You know, I was with a pastor, and we were talking. I said, you know, if people put the energy they put into doing things bad to doing things right, what a success they would be. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if people would just put the effort into the Word of God that they put into watching television or reading magazines or gossiping, hello, or whatever, they would become powerhouses for God. If they would take that effort and channel it in another direction. Oh, glory to God, I'm meddling. All right, verse 21. And unto him, God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus through all the ages, world without end, amen. Praise the Lord. This verse is God's, he wants us to receive the glory, is to receive glory in the church. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Guys, praise the Lord. Thank you. Get anything tonight? So actually, chapter 4 is about the unifying of the body of Christ. And now he puts the ministry gifts in there. So we all join together and work as one fine-tuned machine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's stand on our feet. Let's just give the Lord a worship him, praise you. Father God, we glorify you tonight. We worship you. We give you honor. We give you glory in the precious name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for everyone in this place tonight. I thank you that the word fell on good soil. That'll produce 30, 60, and 100-fold in the lives of those.